We want to continue the message that we began this morning. We'll try not to keep you too long. I know everyone is anxious to enjoy the fellowship down in the fellowship building for cake and ice cream as we honor and celebrate the achievements of Marshall more. But we do want to continue our thought this evening that we had this morning. And the title is A Great Servant's Dying Testimony. And so we want to continue reading. We want to read the passage again in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we want to begin reading with verse 6. The Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the sacrifice that was given at the cross of Calvary. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of redemption. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have in America, that we can be here tonight, that, Lord, that we have that freedom to worship. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. Lord, we pray that you'll speak to hearts. Help me tonight. And, Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do for us. If there's one that doesn't know Christ, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to that heart. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we began the message and we gave testimony of Paul and his journey and his ministry, and his life was soon to come to an end. And we mentioned this morning that verse 7 speaks of the victorious past. We mentioned that verse 6 speaks of the peaceful present. And we mentioned that verse 8 speaks of the glorious future. Now, we spent much time this morning in the first point, and we talked about the past. We talked about his sacrifice. We talked about the sacrifices that were made for the cause of Christ. We talked about him being a fighter, knowing that that there's a fight at hand, and he was a fighter. We talked about the fact that he was a runner running a race, and the race that was set before him. And then we talked about the fact that he was a believer. And I believe that before anything can be accomplished, we have to understand what we're fighting for. We have to understand what we're living for. And in his case, just like it should be ours, we are living and fighting and running for the cause of Christ. Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. And Paul never got over that. He never got over that, and he suffered many things. He suffered a great deal of conflict. He suffered a great deal of abuse. He suffered a great deal and was thrown into prison. As I read that passage of scripture this morning, that he was beaten and he was thrown into prison. And he suffered a great deal for the cause of Christ. But he never once wavered on the message that Jesus saves. And that's something to be said. Because it's a lot easier to fight. It's a lot easier to work towards something when you have a reason. And so just like the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And as I mentioned this morning, and I'll continue to say, there's a lot of things that we don't like that's going on. And there's a lot of hatred, there's a lot of evil, there's a lot of things, but yet we still have a place that we can worship. And we're here tonight because of that. And we should never take that for granted. But the second point that I would like to get into tonight for just a little while is found in verse 6. The Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And so I call this the upward look. Paul's testimony regarding the present. His testimony regarding the present. Now this morning we talked about the past. We talked about his ministry. We talked about the suffering. We talked about the message and all those things when we think about the past. But he knew that his departure was soon to be. He knew that the majority of his life had already been passed. So he focuses on the present. And we call it an upward look. We call it an upward look, his testimony regarding the present. And in the present, as we look at the scriptures and as we look at his life through his writings and through the ministering that he did for others, you know, no matter whether he was in prison or not, he never stopped ministering. You know, when we go through a life's problems and when we go through life's trials, and I would say, based upon what the Bible teaches us, that Paul went through a lot. And we read that just this morning in that passage of Scripture, that Paul went through a lot in life. But he never gave up. He always believed that there was a cause. He always had a message to tell. Even in the books of the Bible that he wrote when he was in prison, he was always working. And that's where I say that we should never give up. No matter how hard life becomes sometimes, no matter what challenges are face us, no matter what is ahead of us, in the present, we should never give up. We should never give up. You know, when we give up, then life becomes worthless. When we give up, then we never really have a cause. When we give up, then it's almost like we're just existing. But no matter what goes on in our life, no matter what challenges we have, no matter what we face, just as Paul, he was ready. He was always ready. He was ready to preach. He was ready to suffer. And although no one likes to suffer, but we know by the thorn in the flesh that he prayed for, he understood by that thorn the grace of God. You know, and sometimes it takes challenges, and sometimes it takes difficulties, and sometimes it takes hardships for us to truly understand the grace of God. And so he understood, and he said that he would rather suffer in his infirmities, and I'm paraphrasing, but he'd rather suffer in his infirmities than turn his back on the Lord. And so he was ready to preach. He was ready to suffer. In the present, he was ready to teach because he was always teaching. He was ready to travel. He went wherever the need was. In several occasions, he made reference that he wanted to see a certain group of people, but yet there was hindrances, and he thought it was needful to be where he was, but yet he had a desire to be with others. You know, if you read anything about the book of Philippians, then he had a great love for those people. He had a tremendous love, and they supported him, and they loved him, and he had a great love, but yet he didn't focus all his attention on them. He focused on others. So he was ready to travel. And most importantly, he was ready to die. He was ready to die for the cause of Christ. When I read this passage of Scripture where it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand," I think of the pouring of a drink, the pouring out of a drink. Back then in Rome and during that time period, that's what they did before a meal is they poured. They poured out. And so he's in reference to the understanding of Timothy and what Timothy's to understand is, he said, I'm ready to be used. I'm ready to be poured out. I'm ready to be offered. And his departure had arrived. You know, these words in this verse, I think of the fact that they teach us and they tell us Paul's view on life. Paul's view on life. You know, we should enjoy our life and we should do everything that we can in our life. And you know as well as I do that life passes very quickly. I remember growing up that it was stages in my life. When I was little, there was things that I couldn't do, and I would hear my parents say, well, you're not old enough to do that. And I would say something like, well, when will I be old enough? And then when I got old enough, they would say, well, you're not old enough to do other things. You have that stage. And then when you get 16, you get your license. When you get to 21 or 19 or however old it is when you graduate school, you think about graduation, and then you think about marriage and careers and all those things. And then all of a sudden you look back and you're like, where's life gone? Where's it gone? It's gone by so quickly. And I realized that you can't go back and change your life. You can't change some of the decisions. You can't change and you can't go back and live it again. Although sometimes we think we would like. How many of you tonight that your minds can do more than what your body tells you? I was close to a ball goal and I remember in high school I could jump pretty high. And I would probably hurt myself or stretch something if I tried to jump now. And it happened so quickly. It's like it seems like just yesterday that I could do this or do that. It even sometimes hurts to bend over now. You know what I'm saying? That's how quickly life goes. And the fact that our bodies start breaking down in various ways, in a lot of different things, and we can't go back in the past, but what we can do is we can think about the present. And the fact that we can still offer ourselves, as Paul says, he says, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be poured out. His departure is at hand. So his view on life in the current state that he was in, during the time of this letter, in his current state, his life was being poured out in continual sacrifice for the Lord. And that is one thing that we can do, no matter what state we're in physically, we can do something for the Lord. We can do something for the Lord. I think of a passage of scripture in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, that verse doesn't differentiate someone's age or someone's health or someone's situation. All it says is you present your bodies, you present what you have. And that's what Paul was doing. His life was coming to a close. And so he knew his departure was at hand. So his present view on life was he was pouring himself out continually and sacrificing to the Lord. Sacrificing to the Lord. I guess I can say it like this. No matter what state he was in, no matter what condition he was in, no matter what position he was in, whether it be in prison or whether it be out, whether it be ministering or in a ship or whatever the case may be, if you study anything about his life as all, I can put it like this. He was willing. He was willing. And I think we could learn a lot from that. Simply being willing. And we know that there's some things that we maybe could do from years ago that we can't do now, but we can still be willing. And there's always something that we can do. So his present state was the fact that he was willing. And then he also had a view of death. What is the death of a Christian? What does verse 6 tell us? He tells us that my departure is at hand. We understand tonight that this is not our home. We understand tonight that life can change quickly. We understand tonight that we could go home tonight and our life be changed. We can understand tonight that if we go to the doctor and we have a pain of some sort and we go to the doctor and get it checked out, we understand that we could get bad news. We understand all those things. But there's also a departure from the present life. And for a believer, that's not a bad thing. If we stop and really think about it, nobody says, well, I think I want to depart tonight. You know, nobody has those thoughts in mind. But when the time is, whenever it may be, we've got a better place to go. We have a future. And he understood that his departure was at hand. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. You know, I don't think we could truly, truly comprehend what heaven will be like. We can try to read what the Bible says. We can try to imagine. We can try to do all those things. But I believe it's going to be such a wonderful place that when our departure finally comes, that we wouldn't want to return. Paul understood his life. Paul understood his purpose. Paul understood his mission. And Paul understood the present. You see, there was a lot of things that he understood. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, for me to live is Christ. He understood that. He lived his life after his conversion. We see in Acts chapter 9, after his conversion, it changed his life. And he understood from that moment of his life being changed, he understood what it meant for me to live as Christ. But he also understood to die as gain. To die as gain. So that was Paul's future. That's the upward look of his future found in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, poured out, sacrificed, given, and the time of my departure is at hand, understanding that he didn't have long. He was still willing to give. He was still willing to work. He was still willing to sacrifice. And he knew his time wasn't long, but he knew that his departure would soon be. And he also knew what his departure would be. And then number 3, which is our last point tonight, Paul's testimony with regards to the future is found in verse 8. Paul's testimony in regards to his future. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, Paul was beginning to look ahead, and he knew it well. He was beginning to look ahead. He had confidence in three ways. He had confidence. Three things he had confidence in as we think about that verse and as we think about his future. First thing that he had confidence in is this. He had absolute confidence in the life to come. He had absolute confidence in the life to come. He understood that there would be an eternity with Jesus. Death does not mean the end to a believer. Death does not mean the end to a believer. Death means that we just are living our future. We're living our new home. We're living a life, and there's things that in this life that we have to endure. But when we get to heaven, it's not the end. But when we get to heaven, it's going to be a glorious place. He had that confidence. He had that confidence. I was talking to someone several years back, and I was talking to him about their salvation. And the individual said, well, I hope that I'll go to heaven. I hope. And that's the idea for a lot of people, is I hope. And I asked the individual, I said, why do you hope? Why can't you know? And they began to talk to me about all the things that they had done, and they were on up in years. And they began to talk about all the things that they'd done and they'd tried to do and all those things. And I said, do you want to know? Do you want to know? You know, it's one thing to hope, and we hope, but it's also something to know our future. No matter how we take our last breath, and it could come in various ways, of course, we also are looking for Jesus to come, and we'll mention that in just a few moments, but no matter how it is, we can know that when we close our eyes and we take our last breath, we can know we'll be in eternity. We can know. And he had that confidence. Paul had that confidence because he continued to preach the message. He continued to minister. It was all about Jesus. And then number two, he had an absolute confidence in the return of Christ. When the Bible says, henceforth there is laid up to me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord and righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. That love his appearing. And he knew the Lord would return. Jesus would return. And he was looking forward to that. There's times that we plan things for the future. There's times that we have ideas and we have hopes and we have dreams, and sometimes those things don't come to pass and we get disappointed. But do you realize that we should look every day for the Lord Jesus Christ? We should look every day for His return. We don't know the hour, we don't know the moment, we don't know the year, we don't know the time, but we should continue to look because Jesus is coming. Just as sure as Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and just as real as the tomb is empty, He's coming back. And He's coming back for His children. And Paul understood that. Paul understood that. He had absolute confidence that Christ would return. Christ's return was a constant inspiration to Paul. A constant inspiration. Every day I believe that he got up knowing that there was challenges that he would face, knowing there was obstacles that he would endure, knowing the hardships that he would have to go through. And I mentioned this morning that he would suffer great things. It was found in the book of Acts that he was told he would suffer great things, but also believe that he looked for Jesus Christ to come back every day. And that's the confidence that he had. And then number three, he had absolute confidence in the day of reward. Paul suffered tremendously in the service of the Lord. He suffered tremendously for the Lord. But one day would be the reward. One day would be the reward. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says, "And when the chief priest shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." A crown of glory that fadeth not away. And then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, the Bible said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." He had a tremendous testimony. He knew his life would soon be over. But he was encouraging someone that was younger. He was encouraging, it's encouraging to us tonight to keep on keeping on. It's encouraging to us to understand that we have a victorious past knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's encouraging to know that we have a peaceful present no matter what it is that we face. And it's encouraging tonight to know that we have a glorious future. We have a glorious future. You see, it's all because of the relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a lot in this world that don't understand. There's a lot in this world that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. And they kind of look at you strangely. You know, we had someone come to the door yesterday, and they were promoting, I'm sure, another message. They were promoting working. They were promoting something that really doesn't give you hope. But I'm thankful this evening that we know the truth. I'm thankful this evening that we that know Christ have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that should be the most important thing to us. A great servant's dying testimony is an encouragement for us tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the life of Paul, but we realize that Paul looked to you. We thank you for the tremendous testimony that he had. But we also realize that he wouldn't have that testimony if it wasn't for you. Help us tonight to have the same understanding that he had. That he just simply lived for Jesus. Lord, there's times in our life that we feel like giving up. But Lord, help us to never give up on life. We have disappointments. We have trials. We have things that cause us pain. But Lord, we have a future. And that future is with you. So help us, Lord, to be encouraged as we celebrate this Memorial Day and the freedoms that we have. Help us to realize that we also have a freedom in Christ. Help us to live every day ever more thankful for what you've done for us. We ask your blessings on this invitation if someone wants to come and pray. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to their heart. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.